button. How's everything sound in your ears?
Good.
Good.
I just got a message from someone on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Who follows you at Helpful Snowman.
Oh, what'd they say?
It's Darren, friend of the show.
Hey, Darren.
He says that I'm lucky to be here.
Like alive?
Well, no, like lucky to be on the show.
Oh, how does he know you're here?
Because I tweeted that I was going to be on the show.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Hey, man, aren't we lucky to be alive in this time when we have these great shows to listen to?
I mean, he does live in Alaska, which is kind of the place where you think, yeah, I'm lucky to be alive every
true.
More frequently than I do.
I used to have an Alaska song. I don't know if I still have it.
Alaska, the land of polar bears. Alaska, where you can leave behind your kids. Alaska, it's got oil.
That might be it. Let's see if I can find it. It's a nice song.
I like my song. I think that Alaska should pay me for it.
Five songs about Alaska.
I can't imagine that there... I'm surprised there are five.
Yeah, me too. I didn't know.
What state do you think has no songs about it?
I thought...
zero.
You know what? North to Alaska. You know that one?
No.
By Boxcar Willie. North to Alaska, come on, the train is on.
You know, that's pretty close to what I had. I mean, it's not that far away.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
I'm trying to think of the state that would have the fewest songs about it. I'm going to guess Connecticut.
I had this like fantasy for a while. I don't know why this was like an out of control fantasy for me to make a... an album, like a mixtape,
right,
where it had 50 songs, one for each state, and the state had to be mentioned in the song.
That sounds like something a librarian would think about doing.
I mean, I don't think it'd be that hard.
There might be some where it's kind of hard.
I think like Iowa would be tough.
Yeah, Iowa, Ohio,
Connecticut.
Yeah, Indiana,
Vermont.
Maybe. Well, maybe because could you use the Drew Carey song, that Cleveland Rock song?
Sure, but that's Ohio.
Yeah, so that would be Ohio, but this is an auspicious start for our geography game, too, coming up later.
Alabama's easy.
Yeah.
Arkansas's easy.
Yeah. Texas is pretty good.
Texas is easy as hell.
That's a wide
California.
Part. Yep.
Here I come!
You could use Viva Las Vegas for Nevada.
Yeah, you could use a city within the state. That's
okay.
Allowed.
Yeah, that'd be...
I mean, I guess I could just use that Petey Pablo song.
Right.
And cover the entire world. The whole world, baby!
I think that's kind of cheating, because then you could just like have We Are the World.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because he did like a different... Didn't he do... Was that like a post 9/11... that when he did like... Because at first it was just all North Carolina. So it was like different... places in North Carolina I'd never heard of.
Oh.
Tropicana, Tampa, Shakerville!
I don't know if that was a post 9/11 thing or like other people wanted to do a collabo, as the kids say.
Well, because I think it was the same song, but it was like the world edition. U.S. flag remix. How do I figure out when that was written?
I don't...
Raise Up, it has its own Wikipedia. Do you want to learn about this song?
Yeah, let's learn about this song.
Raise Up is the title of a song recorded by American rapper Petey Pablo. It was released in August 2001 as the lead single from his debut album, Diary of a Sinner, first entry. The song peaked at number 25, that's it, in October 2001. The song was certified gold in 2002. But let's see, the remix. On the album, there is a remix called All Cities Remix. Except that he shouts out other cities, states, or regions in this order. South Carolina, Atlanta, Virginia, New York City, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Maryland, Houston, Dallas, New Orleans, St. Louis. St. Louis! I remember that one. Miami, Los Angeles, Chicago, Las Vegas, and San Francisco Bay Area. Ending with, the whole world, baby! My Petey Pablo kind of sounds like Louis Armstrong.
I like how his concept is basically the South, like major cities in the South.
Yeah.
New York. A few cities in California.
Yeah.
And then the world. Like everything else is just sort of outside.
We better do this song. We haven't even started the show, really.
Yeah, really.
Well, let's just start with some Petey Pablo today. I loved this song.
Start like 5 minutes in.
I thought this was a great... Every Timbaland song I was tricked by. This is an ad. I was not tricked by this.
I wish there was a, you know,
sounds like shit.
I would like Google to listen to me right now. If there was a thing where you could pay like $2 a month and then you would never have to watch an ad on YouTube, I would subscribe to that.
Me too.
Yeah. So Google, right, if you're listening, $2. You got my $2. I never have to watch an ad again. This, by the way, must have been recorded by some guy holding up his microphone to the television.
Yeah, this just doesn't sound good, does it?
No.
Let's see if I can find it on this. It might be better.
I mean, some of it is that it's clear that YouTube has preserved some music really well.
Yeah.
And also, I think there's a fan base that preserves some songs really well, but Petey Pablo...
All right, let's
not
try
preserved
this
as well.
Here. This one might be a little better. I have my compressor on all fucked up too, so who knows? That's part of the problem. But let's try this. It's not working. This is the worst beginning to a show.
Yeah,
here's the song.
Just need some sad cowboy music.
It sounds a little better, doesn't it? Yeah, this is sad cowboy music.
Yeah.
I decide what's sad cowboy music.
Peter Duke, motherfucker!
Welcome to this show. Go on and raise up if you'd like. Take your shirt off, spin it around your head like a helicopter.
That's right.
I guess that's what a helicopter does. I really I enjoyed this song as a youth. However, I had struggles singing it because he says nigger a lot.
Right.
So, you know, I'd be like, I don't know, can I say that? If I'm singing a song?
Yeah,
can I do that? Like, can I go, all my niggas do a night behind the wall, this right here? Or do I have to be like, all my niggas do a night behind the wall?
It's you lose the flow a little bit when you're trying to, like, match the length and time without saying the word.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
Right.
It's much harder to go like, oh my god, how in the world is... But I don't know if it's like inappropriate.
Maybe you should just use the word quack whenever they would use the N-word. Where it's like, oh my quack,
oh my crackers do down the wall.
But I didn't say crackers, I said quack.
But it doesn't rhyme.
Yeah, that's the thing.
My nibblers doing...
There you go. All my nibblers.
That's too hard to say, though.
All my nibbles.
All my nibbles doing high around the ball. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, there you go. So this is how we've solved racial problems in America.
My nibbles.
That's right.
Nibble, please.
First 5 minutes of the show, or depending on when Peter's cut this, the first 15 minutes of the show.
Well, you know, I didn't want to get into like a whole racial thing when I was 15.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, I just really like this song. It's difficult for me to sing this song and not say that word.
Now, you had a bit of a racial evolution because when you were younger, you had no problem walking around the neighborhood in blackface.
Well, that was in fifth grade. I didn't know. I feel like I've explained
excuses,
this 100
excuses.
Times. It was Halloween.
Right.
And that was, I wanted to be a Jamaican bobsled team member. Mm-hmm. And I did not know in fifth grade that this is not appropriate. Here's what I would think. Imagine you're in fifth grade and you wanted to be Barack Obama.
Okay.
And you put on blackface. Is that disrespectful?
I think so.
Why? I mean, as a fifth grader, though,
what?
You emerge from the bathroom in blackface. It's really not fair for someone to say, whoa.
Oh, no. The fifth grader, it's not their fault. But like any adult who kind of like, hey, let's let that go.
Yeah.
Like an adult needs to step in and be like, that's not okay. And here's why.
I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, it was our mom's fault, basically.
Yep. She's the racist.
For not looking at me and going, okay, you can't do that. And I can try to explain it to you, but
just understand that you're not supposed to do that. Yeah. Yeah,
you can't be a black guy.
You can't be a black. You can't be another race as a Halloween costume.
I think that's crazy. If I was Skeeter from Doug, I could be blue.
Well,
if I was a Simpson, I could be yellow. That's fine.
Well, they don't have as powerful a lobby.
I just don't understand. Like, I still to this day don't understand, because it's not like, here's the thing.
Right.
I was not dressing in blackface, running around going like deep dub doop da. You know what I mean?
Now you do that on the radio show,
but I'm not in blackface.
Well, they don't know that.
Yeah, that's true. I could be. Every show I do, I'm in blackface.
Exactly.
Holding a drawing swastikas on the table.
Just stabbing a swastika into the table with your knife.
Yeah, carving it in myself.
So
my own table.
By the time you hit 200 episodes, do you think you'll dig all the way through the table with your swastika?
What is this swastika?
The Nazi little
thing. Swastika.
I like swastika better.
Well, I know you like that better, but I like not living alone and lonely, but I don't just get to decide.
Well, I get to I don't get to decide those things either, but I get to decide whether or not I want to say swastika or swastika.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Got to take the things you can.
While we were talking about, before we even started the show, we were kind of talking about some other 90s music. Late 90s, early 2000s, because there was a whole rash of bands that I don't know how to qualify. We started talking about this at my work because of a little song that I like to call this.
This.
Hang on. I didn't even look it up yet. That would have worked great if I'd done this pre-planning and I'd said, and it goes a little something like this. And
it just pop
started.
Up. Yeah, as opposed to the professional thing we have where it's like, it goes a little something like this.
Yeah, and then you just hear typing and silence in the microphone.
Right.
It goes something like this. Well, this is an ad.
See, again, Google, I'd pay $4.
Okay.
I was going to say $2.
Name that tune.
Oh. Ooh. It's
See if
outside.
You can buy
Stained?
Yeah.
Now, to clarify for our younger, all the pretty young girls who listen to this show.
Let me do the other one, because this is the more known I discovered at work.
Okay.
So excited for the song to start. It makes me laugh, because like, at the time it was so much feelings. And now I'm like, oh God, what was wrong with me?
This is a part
of the video.
Yeah, the video
like
where he's just
in his apartment by himself. There's a Marilyn Monroe poster. He gets out a box that looks like it's from Hellraiser. We'll see what's in there.
Do you think that
he's smoking?
How many dudes pictures. Do you think this guy actually has a Marilyn Monroe poster in his apartment?
I think at this time he did.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So this song started it because I was talking to some people at work. We were talking about, do you remember, this is when I drove you to Arizona, we drove your stuff to Arizona, and we're staying in this hotel and we walk out to breakfast, there's this huge fucking billboard and it says Aaron Lewis and it's for a country concert, you know, and I was like, who the fuck is Aaron? It just had his dumb fat face up there. So I'm like, what the fuck is Aaron Lewis? I know that name. I'm thinking about it. And then finally I go, oh my God, that's the Stained guy. And he's country now.
He just went straight to country music.
He crossed over. This is his country song.
Dirt road in a town you wouldn't know. Pops picked the place up for 15.
That's bizarre because just not that different.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
You can tell he's just a little bit more like.
Got that fake twang thing going.
Yeah, he's got a total bullshit fake twang. And the whiskey's known to
change a man. Or do you think maybe the whole time he was in Steamed, he hid his twang?
I think this is the song that I was like, this is a ripoff really of that Bon Jovi song.
Oh, about cowboys.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound like that song? And I'm a cowboy.
It has this problem where it's like,
I'm a steel horse I ride. I'm a cowboy.
Yeah, right.
Dead or alive.
I think that has a thing where it's a little more soaring, and it's just kind of like, you want the song to kind of take off at some point, and I have a feeling it's not going to.
Oh, I'm not saying it's as good.
No.
God forbid we think. I am just saying I think they ripped that song off.
Which was the part problem with Stained generally was that it didn't have the like, okay, now it's going to do something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah, nothing really came. There was never like a peak in a valley. It was all valley.
Right.
That led to a worse valley.
It's like, you know, with every punk song where it's pretty much all one tempo, or like you get a punk album where every song is basically really fast.
Right.
You're like, well, it's all the same, but at least it's very energetic. This was all kind of one level of energy and kind of boring.
Meow, meow.
I'm sad and drinking beer.
All right, let's have another '90s song. See if you can name this one. How quickly?
Oh, that guy with the
You can't say who the guy is.
I'm trying to remember what it's called. Like falling even more in love with you. Blah blah blah.
Chasing after you.
I'm
falling. That's not the name of it. Though.
I know what the song is, but like I cannot I could not name it. Like if you asked me to name anything.
Hanging by a moment? No?
This guy was really trying hard to write a Nirvana song.
And which band do you think? Oh, that's... I don't know.
Like, yeah, I'm not saying he was successful, but, like, he was trying really hard, and this is what he got.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I think everyone was trying to categorize this, but the more you listen to, the more confusing it becomes. It's got real Nirvana-y drums. All right, here's another one. I don't know if you're going to know this one.
This feels like every unfortunate moment where I've gone into like a Chili's or an Applebee's because this is the soundtrack.
Wait till you hear the guy.
So lately, been wondering.
Your face is like trying to remember and also trying to forget.
It's sort of like I think of all the space that's taken up by these songs in my brain that could be filled with, you know, rocket science or important medical information.
Fall upon us all. That between sand and stone, could you make it on your own? If I could,
this feels like there should be someone like trying to desperately get someone to go with him to prom. You know, like he's chasing after a car saying, wait, wait, go to prom with me, I love you.
So do you know this song? Who or what? This is The Calling, Wherever You Will Go.
Are they like a Christian band?
I don't know.
Because that 90s period was something where like things could be vaguely
Christian-y. Here's another one. See if you know this one.
As long as it didn't have the rap in it.
A lot of songs. There was one. Oh, I'll have to remember what it was that had a real great rap breakdown. Oh, I remember what it was.
Oh.
We'll do that next.
Oh, this is the... This is Incubus?
Close. Pretty much.
Oh, it's,
I'm not a perfect person. There's many things
I think I was... This is one of those bands, like, I... God, when did this song come out? Like, in 2000s?
I don't know.
And I felt like just a little too old for this song somehow.
2003.
Yeah, so this was a little bit...
But this was like a huge radio hit. You've heard this song a thousand times.
Oh, I think I've heard this song...
I just want you to know...
This might be one of those songs that was on the radio. Like, I worked at a pizza place in the mall for a while.
Yeah.
And this is one of the songs that would be on three times a day.
This is what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying this is a great song. It was unavoidable at the time.
Yeah.
So you don't know who this is either.
It's like The Reason Is You is the song.
It's The Reason, but...
And then it's, I have no idea who it is, though.
Hooba Stank.
Oh.
All right. This is one that I really don't like. I liked, and it's got a great rap breakdown. It's like the perfect why rap breakdowns are bullshit. Excuse me.
Right, why rap breakdowns really don't fit in some songs.
We have a 15-second commercial of Jimi Hendrix, which is a lot better than the song we're about here. That's a really big mistake.
Slater.
in this commercial, he's playing at a stadium and no one looks excited. They're like, look at this guy.
Do you think maybe in about like 20, like 30 years or so?
Oh. Oh, God. This song was everywhere.
Do you know what it is?
It is Evanescence. And it's called Bring Me to Life.
Very good.
Yeah, I knew this one. Like open
doors. Let's get to the rap breakdown, because that's my favorite part.
Oh, this time, I can't believe I couldn't see. Kept in the dark. Oh, this time, I can't believe I couldn't see. Kept in the dark, but you were there
in front of me. Yeah.
Like, that's so gratuitous and unnecessary.
It doesn't fit with anything else.
No. I can't wake up! I don't get this song, because, like, I think that she's actually got an okay voice, and it's kind of a melodramatic song, but I don't understand why she's like, save me! And then he's like, wake me up! Like, that's not necessary.
It feel like this song was a little bit schizophrenic, where, like, one person wanted to make something in the Queen vein of just doing something grandiose and a little bit silly.
Yeah.
And someone else wanted to make, like, a real hard rock driving song, essentially.
Let's do this one. And I know you know this one.
Like, kind of neither.
I know you know this one because you've complained to me about this song in the past.
Yeah, I complain about a lot of things.
I know, but this is... I want to see your face when you figure out what it is.
Is it the Bad Day song?
No. Now that she's back,
oh. Drops, yeah. In her head. This.
Now you got to say what it is.
Drops of Jupiter.
By
Train.
Yeah.
Yeah. She acts like summer and walks like rain. It doesn't make any.
Explain why you hate this song. Because I just.
It makes no sense.
Uh-huh.
It has a piano for no reason.
Okay.
I would like someone to write into Helpful Snowman and explain what the song is about to me. Like,
but anything. It's not that important. I mean, there's a lot of songs that don't make sense.
It's whiny. It's mentioned to be pretentious as well without being very smart.
I mean, you should watch the video because it's very of this time where they're like singing and there's a big rug and he's in like leather pants for no real reason.
Yeah, he's in there. Like, aren't they in a big room and there's a giant rug?
Yes. Exactly. So there's a whole playlist of 90s alternative. Is that what this is? Alternative?
Alternative to what? Music?
Like, I don't know.
This is...
alternative to music.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the kind of thing that your choice is like, well, you could have music, you could have news, or you could have that.
All right, this is a song that you heard 400,000 times.
Please be Beyonce.
Are you out of your mind? I've never.
I did hear that 400,000 times.
All right, here we go.
And the Rihanna Umbrella song. Oh, Superman.
I mean.
Or it's called Kryptonite.
Uh huh. Who's it by?
Oh, some douche. Like, there's a douchey guy. There's a guy with, like, super short, like, bleach blonde hair who's about to pop up in this video.
He has short hair, but it's not blonde.
Oh. Like, and he's really washed out looking.
It's Three Doors Down. Oh. He's not a handsome man.
Yeah.
I like how you turned that into he's bleach blonde. All right, how about this? This is a great video, by the way. If you ever want to watch.
Do you have a thing to...
Do I have a thing? I think you took it off the fridge and brought it somewhere.
I put it back on the fridge. But you should talk about this song like the thing.
Well, first you have to figure it out. You can't get a beer opener to you now.
It's Arms Wide Open by Creed.
The news today. It seems this show has got to change. Everyone hates everything we do. Because this show is piled up.
Now, I was reading something in the Onion AV Club, which is something I have to bring up every time I come to this show.
The Onion AV Club?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Okay.
because they had an article basically saying that grunge was a worthless movement, like a worthless musical idea.
Okay.
Because
It
didn't really evolve. Like once Nirvana ended, it was kind of a dead end. Like it didn't have a sort of, unlike punk music, which it kind of becomes popular and then sort of has goes underground again when it becomes less popular, so it gains a hardcore fan
Before
base.
Before you make these wild claims.
Right. And everyone who follows, but all the stuff that tried to follow grunge or became grunge was stuff like that, stuff like Stain. Basically, all those things you just played.
So, you but know, why does that mean grunge isn't good? Because everything that tried to rip it off is bad. What about this?
This is
Chris
Cornell. I haven't
heard this for a long time. Yeah.
And it's,
When you sing, you have to back up from the microphone, because I will die.
I just know how to project, is really what it is. But I can't remember. I have no idea what the song is called. I don't think I ever knew.
Like a Stone?
Oh.
But I'm saying, here's what I'm saying. Like, why does it mean that because nothing came out of it that it's bullshit? That
I think it was, doesn't mean that the whole movement was bullshit, but that it was sort of a, it was sort of a cultural, musical cul-de-sac. Like, it just kind of ended.
Yeah. I mean, like, I get that, because, I mean, no one's happy about this, you know. And that's, I mean, as much as I don't like to compare, it's clearly a musical son of grunge.
Right.
I mean, that... But, like, I don't... Why is that? Is that a criticism?
I think the criticism from the AV Club was basically saying that it's not... That grunge didn't contribute much to music because it became kind of a dead end, like a cultural cul-de-sac. So
yeah, but why is it a responsibility of a band who did good things to have other bands create, take those things and make them into something else? That's bullshit.
It doesn't lay it at the feet of bands. It just says that as a musical idea, grunge didn't go anywhere.
But I don't, you know,
grunge is like the Neanderthal. It, you know, it died out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's just so much undeniable from that movement, though, that I can't just pretend it wasn't great.
I guess it's that difference of...
I mean, what came from the 60s that turned into what that's like, oh, thank God. What did the Beatles turn into?
I mean,
What ripped off the Beatles that we really... Like Weezer?
Well, part of it is to say that if you get stuff from the 60s and 70s, like, you can see an influence of Jimi Hendrix or Led Zeppelin or... other acts that sort of continues forward. Mm-hmm. You can see, even if you don't really like the Sex Pistols or, you know, punk bands from the 70s and early 80s, you can still see their influence.
Mm-hmm.
Like it comes up, like, or, and in many cases they sort of created or helped continue a durable musical movement where grunge didn't do, it doesn't mean that grunge was bad, but it's the idea that to some degree art has to be valuable by having continuing contributions. And
I can think
continuing.
Of three good examples to the contrary off the top of my head.
All right.
And I will play them for you after this 30-second advertisement for some bullshit.
Google, I mean, $2.
I think we're watching a commercial about domestic abuse or something.
You know? Do you think, how much money do you think Google would make if they just got everyone to pay $2 to not see YouTube ads?
I mean, a lot. Oh, we're watching an ad about meth right now. It's really great. Thanks for showing me that.
Do you think anyone has ever bought anything off of a YouTube ad?
I don't even know how to buy meth. I'm gonna get free. I'm gonna get free. This is 2009,
right?
So well after grunge.
Yeah.
I think it's got definite grunge influence.
I would say it's got a punk influence, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
you
but...
You can't... Okay, hang on.
I'm not saying that grunge...
Hold on. Okay, now let's do this. I'm gonna get free, I'm gonna get free, I'm gonna... It's Nirvana song.
Right.
Pretty similar, right? I mean, I think the roots are there. I think the roots are pretty damn strong.
Oh, we have a Twitter fan who's got a song request.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, hang on. I got two more examples.
I think, but you have to remember that grunge had punk influences too, especially Nirvana. So
okay,
I mean,
but
say,
you can't say like, you can't say there would be no Green Day without punk, but you know, if you could remove punk, but you could have this, you know, it doesn't work that way. It's out there. You can't just say punk like bypassed grunge.
We get the Strokes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the Strokes has much more of a 60s, 70s thing.
It has some, but I think there's a grunge thing undeniable.
I mean, it's harder to say, like, if you had to go with the inheritors of grunge, it's not the Strokes, though.
Well, I don't think I'm saying, like, they're the leaders of the pack or whatever. And then let me do one more. How about this? Maybe not this song. So, did you pass gas in this room?
I did not.
Someone did. It was not me.
I'll blame your Twitter followers.
I mean, this has punk too, but I think there's an undeniable grunge influence to the style. Because you know what the difference is to me between punk and grunge a lot?
What?
Punk doesn't have a lot of bass and drum-driven songs. It's mostly vocals and guitar.
Now, to clarify for our audience, who is this?
Kings of Leon.
Ah.
To clarify for you as well?
That's right. Clarify for old man Dirk. But we got a request from one of your Twitter followers for a song about Alaska.
Okay.
Stephanie Says by the Velvet Underground.
That's the one I was looking at, but I was like, I don't know, is that going to be a good song? So I'm just saying, I guess, fuck you,
AV Club.
AV Club, you're wrong. You're just trying to make a point about nothing because you're like, I got to write a fucking article today. Mm. I mean, what would you say? Who's the direct influence, or who's the direct, you know, it went from Jimi Hendrix to who then? Who's today's Jimi Hendrix?
I don't think there is
Lenny
a
Kravitz.
Jimi
that
Hendrix.
Guy fucking blows.
Lenny Kravitz does blow because
he's horrible.
He's trying to recapture something that music has moved on from.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then there's no one from them either. I mean, who's Eric Clapton of today?
I mean, part of it is you're trying to say if there's not an exact copy of someone, then that means their influence is no longer there. That's not the same thing. Like, if you are to say who's the Nirvana of today or who is the Run DMC of today, that doesn't mean that those movements have... But if you can't find a Run DMC of today, you can't say, oh, well, there's no famous rappers anymore.
I feel like you're agreeing with me now.
No. I think the problem is you're saying...
No!
The problem is you're saying if there's not a one person who embodies that whole style, that whole thing, the movement's dead.
I just gave you three. I'm saying that it did have an influence, and that to say it dead ended is incorrect.
But is there a grunge song today?
Well, no, but there's not a Beatles song today either.
There's still bands that try to rip off the
Beatles.
Who's the
closest?
I don't listen to enough popular music to know. But
well, here's the other thing, though. I mean, I think we're saying also, though, right, that like Nickelbacks and whatnot are the sort of carrying the torch of the grunge movement.
Yeah.
And though you may not like that, it did not dead end. That's the point. You might not like what came out of it, but it is undeniably huge.
Perhaps it didn't dead end, but it dipped in quality dramatically.
In your opinion.
In my opinion.
And AV and my also. But
right.
I don't think you could blame, and I think there are some things too that came from it that are maybe more on the popular side that are still of pretty high quality. Let's see. I got a good one here. It is cold in Alaska, though.
It is very cold. Do you think Sarah Palin can see Russia from her house better in the winter or in the summer?
Let me tell you what they can see from Russia. Dead ass. This is a Foo Fighters song. I think this is a pretty good song. Good energy. Actually, the lyrics are surprisingly good if you actually listen to them and know what they say. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a... you know what this kind of carries on from grunge to me is the spirit of like a aggressive song with vulnerable lyrics. And I think that has continued.
I think
the grunge movement kind of got adopted by the indie rock movement a little bit more.
I think so. I think that's where, because you could still have that vulnerability. And I think part of the hard part is that as grunge became marketed, you can't have marketing and vulnerability at the same time.
It seems disingenuous.
And I think that's the takeoff of a lot of bands like a... Like, you cannot describe Creed as vulnerable.
No.
Part of the problem is they try to be grandiose and big.
Right.
Which doesn't work for grunge. That's not...
I hear what you're saying. I just completely disagree. I can't agree with that. I refuse to let someone say that grunge has died. Because I think that is incorrect. And written by some asshole who wants to make an big important point.
Well, sadly, reading the rest of the tweet from our friend of the show, Darren Roberts, he said he would show his boobs if you played Stephanie Says.
Well, I played part of it.
Yeah, well, then he took that back and said, no, he won't. So, Darren, you don't know any boobs.
He won't show his tits?
That's right.
Does he have tits?
Well, he offered to show his boobs. Just to clarify for the people at home, he didn't say boobs with two O's. He said boobs.
Boobs. Yeah, I think this is kind of where grunge went a little bit.
Not this song, but I could see like Bright Eyes.
See, now, I would disagree, because here's where grunge came from again. Until the clock speaks up. Grunge comes from... Says it's time to go.
Because this feels very too electronic.
Right, but I mean, there's a... the roots of grunge are like this.
Yeah, this is different, though. Like, this has a rawer feeling to it, where the Bright Eyes song is a little more polished.
Okay, it's not the same fucking song. I mean, they're not going to be the same song, but they're
like,
strongly related.
You're arguing about songs saying, like, these are the same thing. I'm saying that grunge had an idea of being a little bit more lo-fi.
Okay, but when do you think this song was made? 1980s. Late 80s. Early 90s. So I'm saying, this is a grunge song. This is from the grunge movement. This is the Vaseline's, covered often by Nirvana.
I just, like, this has a lo-fi quality that the Bright Eyes song doesn't have.
Right, that doesn't exist because there's no such thing as lo-fi. I mean, you can't say, that's, you know, okay, hang on. You know, you have something like, I don't know. After this, we have to stop talking about this. 'Cause I don't think it's exciting anymore.
Because it's just trying to find various YouTube videos of songs.
So what would you say is the, you know, successor to this? Because, I mean, the recording is shit.
Well, it's not... I mean, that's just about the time. You know,
okay, that's the other thing, though. Lo-fi is time.
But that's not the reason why the song sounded like that. They made it deliberately sound like that.
You don't know that. You're just making stuff. You didn't even know what song that was.
My girl, don't lie.
I can recognize sound quality, Pete.
I know. I'm just telling you that, like, saying that something... Because they did not have the ability to make the high-quality digital recording. So you can't really say it was a matter of choice.
But they decided it sounded a certain way, and that's what they wanted to go for. Bright Eyes could have gone for the lo-fi thing in the past era and went for something more polished.
But this is the problem. You can go back. You can't go forward.
But you can't you're trying to say that Bright Eyes was the same thing as this older thing because they're both electronic.
I'm saying it's a successor. I'm making the point that that's grunge. That's in the grunge movement. That's part of grunge. And that this is the modern version of it.
Well, I would say that the Bright Eyes song tends to fall more into like an electronic folk thing, which is not grunge.
Okay, well, tell me then who you think the successor is to any band from the 60s or 70s.
I keep coming back to this fact that there's enough little bands that come up that are successors to influence by things that come out in the 60s or 70s.
I'm asking you to tell me one.
I don't have to tell you one.
You do, because I'm telling you like 10.
Because
that
I don't have
grunge.
My little YouTube to plug in and be like, I'm going to have a song come up.
I'm not plugging in and just saying like, give me a 90s influence song. I'm typing in the names of songs.
Here's one. I would say that Oasis was a directly influenced by the Beatles. Didn't say they were good.
Okay.
Direct influence.
Okay, but that was during the early 90s. That's not today.
So you want something today that's influenced by... I don't know today's music. I keep saying this.
Well, because the point, like the AV Club thing, right, is saying basically we had music and it's going along in sort of a linear fashion.
Right.
And then there's this cul-de-sac of grunge.
Right.
But so... If that's true, then the things from before grunge would be continuing today.
Right.
Uninfluenced by grunge, in essence.
Basically, it's the idea that if you imagine if you imagine a tree, right?
Yeah.
The grunge branch doesn't go anywhere. Now, things may have branched off from grunge.
Right.
But that doesn't mean grunge itself has continued.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I can't...
Or the things that influenced grunge have continued, like... punk, post-punk, some electronic music, folk music have gone forward while grunge did not.
Well, let me give you an example of something different then.
Give me an example of a grunge song that's come out today.
No, I'm going to give you this.
Since you're the one who's got all these songs in the bank.
I hate arguing with you. Here's like, okay, this is what I would say, for example, is the successor to Frank Sinatra-style music.
And I look across the water.
Right. That style never went away. Like, that style...
But who else is doing... I think it did. Because who's doing it now?
It doesn't mean that nobody is doing it. It just meant that it wasn't in the popular consciousness. Just because it's not in the popular consciousness doesn't mean it's not happening. It doesn't occur. It doesn't exist. And part of the point of the original point of the article was that punk may have, or other forms of music may have fallen out of the public consciousness.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't mean that those movements went away. They just went underground. There's no underground grunge scene now.
You don't know that, though. If it was underground, how would you know? There could be a kid in his basement learning to play guitar from Nirvana songs.
So they'll be the grunge band that emerges.
Right.
It's got to be above ground. Basically, it has to be public enough that someone has heard of it.
But music is cyclical. I think we agree on that, right? So I think that grunge hasn't been past its prime long enough to have a return.
So grunge hasn't become retro yet.
I don't think it has. I think that like this Frank Sinatra type stuff has been the retro, and I think that the 60s has been retro. The Mad Men has been retro. The 90s has not been retro. Here's what's been retro. A weird reinterpretation of the 90s that involves like wearing neon and stuff like that. And though there was some neon worn, I remember, in the late 80s, early 90s, it is not the way that people, you know, people didn't wear like a lot of neon Wayfarer sunglasses and shit like that.
It's the sort of it's the pre-grunge 90s.
Right.
Right.
Everybody's dressing like, you know, the worst asshole pimp from Miami Vice.
Mm-hmm.
No one's dressed like the people were actually dressed. You know what I mean? It's annoying because I'm sure you feel this way too, where you feel old because people are like, oh, we're going to an 80s party.
Right.
But they don't dress like the 80s. They dress like Cyndi Lauper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who I wouldn't say embodied the 80s. As great as she was, as much as I enjoyed that, I don't think she's like an embodiment of the 80s.
Who would you say is the embodiment of the 80s?
Who?
Yeah.
From the 80s?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. Motley Crue?
That'd be pretty close.
I would say something like maybe Guns N' Roses is a better...
That's a pretty good choice.
Total 80s.
Yeah, like...
altogether.
And I would say their songs are actually not bad songs either.
No, I mean, there's plenty of good music that came out in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. I would have guessed Michael Jackson. But yeah, he just, like, he was a singular thing. If I had to go more obscure, but probably a more on the nose, Max Headroom.
Sure.
I mean, that's when I think that's the '80s. Pretty, that's pretty much what pops into my head is Max Headroom.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't remember, Max Headroom was sort of this like CG computerized head who had sunglasses on, and he would his backgrounds were like the laser background from when you got your picture taken at school. I don't even remember what he did really.
I
remember him from a Coke commercial.
He is this very bizarre computer creation.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be the future.
Let's see. Max Headroom, the best bits ever. Was he comedy? I don't even know. Max Headroom, the best bits. Compiled by Andy Merovingian.
This is Max Headroom.
So you're just looking at a guy who's like a, he looks kind of like a mannequin.
To a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever produced in the history of television.
Yeah.
The guys who created Max Headroom, as an interesting side fact, they wrote the script for the Mario Brothers movie.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's not, I don't know. It's a very 80s thing. Look it up if you want to know what was going on and what we thought would be cool.
Right.
The things we thought were cool are completely nonsensical.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's how I feel about most of the 80s. And honestly, a great, as we've heard through this song compilation earlier before the long argument about grunge.
Yeah, yeah.
Which most people have probably skipped
through.
They're like,
okay.
Yeah. A lot of the 90s music was pretty terrible.
The late 90s, early 2000s, I think was a very lost period where we basically latched onto singles that we were just like, I don't know, I guess this sounds like a song I would like.
Maybe grunge did kind of ruin music for a while, because once that was gone, we were like, oh, we'll take this thing that's kind of close.
I mean, I
kind of there.
If you want to say it ruined it, I would accept that in the sense of it ruined it in that, like, you know how if you see a great movie,
right,
then the next movie you see is a 7, but it just seems like a piece of shit because you just saw a 10. I think you could say that. Like, if everyone was real into it, it seemed like. It was like music was really important.
Right.
And all that stuff. And then it was not as important.
It's like reading, maybe it's like if you're reading a book.
Yeah.
And you really love this book.
Yeah.
And then the author does a sort of cynical follow-up to that book later on to be like, oh, gotta pump out some novel. Or no, you go read that author's first book.
Yeah, and it's not like, as good.
It's definitely not as good. And the late 90s was that first book. It's like, this is all not as good.
That's so confusing because you're going back and forth through time.
Yeah,
in that analogy.
It really doesn't, but it makes more sense when you think about it just as the quality of the work, where you're like, oh, this thing that's close to the thing that I really love.
Yeah.
But really lacking in a lot of critical elements.
I've got it. It's like The Simpsons.
Right? Ooh.
So it's great for like 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, it's like a shadow of its former self. Now, if The Simpsons that was running today came out today, maybe it would be a success, and we'd all be like, actually, it's pretty good. Because I haven't seen it a lot, but it's probably still better than like 80% of shows, I would think. But when we compare it to those times, nothing's ever going to live up to it.
No.
I mean, it just doesn't work that way. So it has to be, instead of doing The Simpsons, you have to do something else entirely. Right.
The weird part about The Simpsons, and this is maybe another controversial debate, so you might want to cue up the game we have while I say this.
Okay.
I would say it holds up better than Seinfeld does.
Dun, dun, dun!
I know. I still think Seinfeld's really good.
Yeah.
But The Simpsons seems to hold up more. Like, the jokes still make sense, it still feels relevant.
Do you think it's the laugh track?
That is kind of a factor.
Because I watched, you know what, Seinfeld's pretty... Here's the thing, though. I mean, we could talk about this all day. We're comparing shows that are like a 9 and a 10.
Yeah.
Versus like, I mean, Jesus Christ. Have you ever tried to watch an episode of Frasier?
I can say I actually can beat you on this because I've been home for the holidays.
Uh-huh.
And our mother has picked a new show to watch like while she does work or eating or something.
Uh-huh.
She's picked Cheers.
Okay.
And I sat down and watched some episodes of Cheers.
Yeah.
I think the way that show was shot, it does feel like it definitely feels out of time.
Yeah,
because this is what happened in the first episode, or like the second episode of the show. A guy comes in with a desperate problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you, we can reenact this. And this is his desperate problem.
Okay.
All right.
Who am I?
You'll be coach, one of the bartenders.
Troll who worked coach?
Yeah.
His name is Coach?
His name's Coach.
Like from the show Coach?
No. Well, okay. Yes, like from the show Coach, but not Craig
but
T.
Not
Nelson.
Him. No. Okay. Thank you for knowing his name.
Yeah.
All right. So you have a problem and I'm a bartender.
Right.
What can I get you, Mac?
Listen, I just got a problem. I just got to talk this through.
Whoa, you got a drink, Chief. We don't just give out free.
Okay, so get me a beer.
Okay.
Thank
you. There you go. That's a beer.
Always. So, listen. My son brought his fiance home.
Okay.
Fiance is black.
Aw, shit.
Yeah.
Come on and raise up. I bet she's always raising up and twisting her shirt around her head like a helicopter.
All the time. Well, a twist later on in the episode, spoiler alert for the second episode of Cheers.
Yeah.
Is that it turns out that the fiance is also a dude.
Ah.
Yeah.
So the guy doesn't care that it's a black person. He doesn't care it's a dude.
He just cares
that it's a black.
I think it was both. The combination of the two.
Let me ask you a loaded question here.
Okay.
You have a son. Little boy. His name is,
Reginald Farnsworth.
Reggie.
Okay.
And he's your white son. And he comes back and he says, Dad, I'm bringing my fiance home.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. How could he even be fianced? Couldn't get gay married then, could you?
That's what didn't make any sense.
Okay.
I was trying to figure that out. I was like, how does that even work?
Because you're just supposed to be shocked?
I think it was supposed to be the twist.
So it was supposed to be like a comedic twist? That
well,
it was a man?
It's because Coach was a little bit of an idiot. Where Coach would say, like, she brought her fiance home. My son brought his fiance home and she's black. And he goes, oh, and your son is not.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your son brings home fiance. Would you be more surprised if it was a black woman?
Okay.
Or a white man?
Oh, probably a white man.
Would be more surprising.
Yeah.
Okay. How come?
I think that the odds, basically.
Just statistically?
Yeah, like statistically.
I don't know. I would think you're in Colorado.
Okay, so I'm assuming I'm here.
Do you think there are more gay people or more black people here?
Ooh, I think it's probably about the same.
Boy, there are not very many black people. I don't know how many gay people there are because you can't just tell.
Right.
Black people, you could usually just tell.
Well, I think there's also a bias because you're in Northern Colorado.
Sure.
That maybe in Denver, it'd be a bit different.
I'm sure Denver it's different, but I mean, the rest of the state is pretty empty.
That's true. Saying
statistically, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm living here.
Let's just say.
I still probably would go with I think the dude would be more of a surprise.
Yeah.
Like if it was just all of a sudden. Out of the blue.
Now, would you have to have a talk with your son? I don't mean like where you're like, you can't be gay. I just mean a talk of like, so you're gay, I guess. Then
I'd ask I'd ask if he could just date someone who could figure out how to put a fucking light in the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, like do some wiring.
Do some work around the house.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if she's like Chinese and hermaphrodite.
Yeah. Can she wire a light fixture? That's really what I need.
So you're really looking for a skills-based matchmaking situation here? That's your plan for all your hopes for your son? Or you're like, well, I don't know. As long as his house is well-appointed, I don't really care.
No, it's as long as my house is well-appointed and he brings over people. Basically, I want him to trade sexual favors.
So you're turning into our mother.
Housework. Yes.
We're basically, when someone comes over, you're like, good, I have a lot of jobs lined up for you.
Exactly.
I went over to drop off a thing for Ian.
Uh-huh.
And that turned into moving her entire entertainment center and television and all this stuff downstairs.
I came home for the holidays and she asked me to install a light fixture.
Yeah.
That's why I brought up that example. I was a little out of my depth. I was like, I don't know.
You don't know what you're doing?
Yeah.
How would you know?
Well, she got me a book from the library.
Okay.
And it looked nothing like anything in the book. The light fixture she had didn't match anything. I didn't know any. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I was talking to this friend trying to explain how my mom drives us crazy.
Right.
Or drives me crazy. And the way that she really does it most successfully is that I'll be going over there innocently to do nothing really. And then she'll be like, by the way, do you think you could go ahead and hang this wheelbarrow in the garage and install the hook to do it? And I don't mind doing these things. I would just like some heads up. I think she's afraid I won't do it.
Like,
it,
you would say, no, I won't come over and do that.
Right. But I wish she would just say, I wish she would try it the other way. Why can't she try?
That maybe you should refuse a bunch of times, and then when she tries to trick you, she at least has a justification of saying,
yeah,
listen, when I ask you directly, you just always say no. So,
yeah, but I don't want to, I would like her to just tell me, because then I feel like I need a little mental preparation.
Right.
You know, we moved the entertainment center. She's like, hey, how about we do this? She clearly was not prepared. Everything was fucking plugged in. Like, we had to unplug everything and like take the DVDs out of the thing, which I'm like, well, you could probably do that part, right? Like, you could do that.
Have all the stuff, yeah, ready to go, like things unplugged.
And she like goes downstairs to get tape to hold the door shut on the thing. And it's like, I would object to it less if it was like, hey, I just need you to carry it down the stairs.
And it's not like when she said, bring up the Betamax and let's watch some movies.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was a great idea.
Right.
That was like one of the most depressing moments of my life doing that. Jesus Christ. We're there for Christmas. You know, and the Christmas part is kind of over.
Right.
And then we basically watch these old home movies. Real uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Real crazy. You know, our dad was obviously like completely out of it. He's playing fucking Atari.
He's playing Dig Dug.
Yeah. While you're like taking the books off his bookshelf and sitting in them and stuff. And he's just not even paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, it was nuts. He was an asshole to our mom.
I felt like,
didn't you think so?
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about this after.
No.
But he was kind of a dick.
Just with impunity, like on camera.
Yeah. He's just like, wow, May, da 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 da. And I'm like, okay.
Jerk.
Yeah. And yeah, I was going home and I was like, well, that was a nice Christmas. Maybe I'll go home and cry for a little while.
Well, you needed to go home and cry because we learned that you are kind of an asshole when it comes to shared presents.
Oh, yeah. We, for some reason, so it's Christmas and we watched this tape, which is basically a tape of a Christmas.
Yeah.
When we were little kids, you know.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, you know, there's one brief tape where I was a baby and Ian was like riding on me like a horse, kind of.
Right.
And then some point it switched. And at Christmas, we would get these gifts. And, you know, since we're a year apart, some of the gifts were for both of us. And it would say Ian and Peter. Mm-hmm. I would go ahead and open most of them.
Yes.
And then, like, okay, one thing we got was a chalkboard and a bunch of chalk.
Right.
And there's, and I was like, I would just go, Ian, do you want this? Do you, trying to get him to say, like, no, I'm not interested. So I'd be like, all right, I'll keep it. You know, so I'd be like, do you want this? Ian, do you want this? So then I, with the chalk, I was like, well, there's colored chalk and white chalk. So I'll take the color chalk and you can have the white chalk and you're like, okay. And then I had the fucking eraser for the chalkboard. And I was like, do you want this?
Yeah.
You know, like I was going to claim the eraser for this chalkboard. I'm not kidding. We got, one of the gifts we got was like this little tool set, you know, and then like woodworking. And then we got this little thing and it was like a bundle of wood, like firewood, but it was planks, you know, it was like scrap.
Right.
From a wood.
It's just a bunch of little balsa wood that they just decided, yeah, we'll just throw it in the bag and give it to kids because kids are dumb.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm carrying this thing around going, Ian, do you want this? I wanted to claim scrap wood for myself. So I was like, I don't think I'm capable of sharing this.
Did you get one of these?
Yeah.
I did, you know.
Yeah, I opened two things of Legos and then found out that one was for Ian. And I was like, okay, I will take... I'll take the red one and then gave you the other one, you know?
Right.
It was crazy. I was a complete sociopath.
Just stealing gifts all over the place.
On this video, which was probably like a half hour at least, I must have said, it's just what I wanted 50 fucking times.
This is just what I wanted!
I don't know where that came from or how a kid learns to see that, but everything I opened, I was like, it's just what I wanted!
No matter what it was.
Oh, it would be so annoying.
There would be a sweatshirt from our uncle that was still way too big.
You got this sweatshirt, because you opened yours in full view of the camera.
Yes.
And it looked like the sleeve of it would fit your entire body.
It was... I was a little
fit you today.
I was a little kid.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Ian was probably four, five,
like maybe yeah, 5-6 years old max.
This is like a triple XL adult.
This would not,
sweatshirt.
Yeah, it would not fit me today. It like it doesn't even.
It would be far too baggy.
I couldn't even. I don't think I could have even worn it then. Like I might have gone through the neck hole.
Yeah, yeah. There's no way.
No way it
There's
would
There's no way in fuck you could have worn that shirt.
Like, I think it was something he just found and is like, oh, that's a gift.
I can't figure out what that would have, you know, why you would get a kid who's four a triple XL adult sweatshirt. Like, why? It was new. It looked new.
Yeah, like he didn't.
It's very white.
Yeah, he didn't buy it like from a thrift store or secondhand or just have it in his closet. He was like, he bought that. He went out and was like, oh,
yeah,
that'd be good. Real
yeah.
good, dear.
Yeah, looks like a good sweatshirt, dear.
Yeah.
Look at the fabric. And we were watching these videos, too, and it was kind of bizarre because they had, it was like music videos had been recorded and then home
night
videos
tracks.
Over the top. Yeah, night tracks. And like, so we got like Huey Lewis in the news. If this is it, just let me know.
Now there's a dead end of music.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I
even
can't
watching that, I was like, what is this?
I was watching it the whole time and thinking that at one time Huey Lewis and the News was the biggest band in America. Like, it was huge.
Here's what was crazy about it, watching it, because the video, they're like on the beach.
Right.
And Huey Lewis is like a young guy, and uh-huh. he's getting like hot babes. Like, hot young babes were listening to Huey Lewis and the News. That blew my mind. Because I really, my biggest experience with them was like, intro song to the Dennis Miller Show.
Right.
Where I was like, all right, Huey Lewis at that point was like 40. And I was like, this isn't cool. This is for like my our dad.
It made sense that Dennis Miller would pick that as his theme song. Where it's
exactly.
like, this is what I want.
So to see like bikini babes at the beach and they're like, oh, Huey Lewis, eh?
There's some hot babe who said, hey, listen, you'll be in a bikini in this video for a Huey Lewis video. And they go, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't make sense. Like, I always understood, you know, Prince.
Right.
Right? You're like, I don't know. I guess he's cool or something. I don't, you know, I don't really know. But I sort of got it, right?
Prince but, was it. Well, I like Prince, but Prince at least is, there's enough weirdness going on where you could be like, all right.
Yeah, I guess he's got sex appeal. I don't really know. But like Huey Lewis and like Prince's music, I could see like that was of its time, but even still was, I understood it as appealing to a sex vibe.
Considering that it's all
level.
About sex, like it's very directly about sex.
Yeah. And it, I don't know, it was, it had a beat to it and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, this would be like if you found out that Hootie and the Blowfish, that guy was like a sex machine. Here you go, this is the song. He's putting like D batteries in a boombox right now.
D batteries, by the way, for those if those pretty young girls who listen to the show are like the size of a soda can and are not used for anything anymore.
He's making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to take to the beach.
Another outrageous day out there. If you're
it's also worth noting that throughout the whole video, he's wearing black jeans and a shirt at the beach.
Don't get too fried now.
He's wearing, yeah, and like a polo shirt just walking around.
The latest from Huey Lewis and the News.
Listen to this. Doesn't this sound like a song from, like, Macy's?
It really does. Like, what's strange about this period of music is that, like, this was a contemporary of Prince, Michael Jackson, Madonna, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I understand why she was popular.
Sure.
But this, like, was at the same time.
And it's just so boring.
Yeah, like, I don't understand.
I mean, maybe he wasn't getting hot babes, but I kind of think he was. Right?
That album that this was from, Sports?
Yeah.
I saw the Behind the Music with Huey Lewis in the News, and it was like the number one album.
I mean, that's so crazy. That makes, I don't understand what was going on at this time.
Here's the question I would have, and this is not a debate question.
Okay.
Okay. What is fundamentally different between this and Journey? Like, in that, not, I understand the musical differences, but why is Journey still played?
Oh.
And this is not.
I think the Journey, when you listen to it, feels like it may be equally stupid.
Right.
But I think the people in the band believed it. I think that, like, Steve Perry was feeling it. And I think he was singing his ass off. Like, this is lazy.
This
and
is
not
like-
good. Journey might not be your favorite, but I think it's undeniable that some fucking calories were burned in that studio.
Journey was, like... So Journey had, like, some genuine feeling behind it.
Yes.
And I guess that's what's hard, is that it's easier to appreciate Journey, and this might be why Journey's still around today, is that you can appreciate Journey with irony. You can't appreciate this with irony because it's so lazy to begin with.
I think you could appreciate Journey without iron. I mean, I think
no, I'm not. I agree.
Music,
you could.
There's guitars and stuff too.
No, I agree. You could appreciate Journey without irony, but I think irony is part. Like, you can't appreciate this ironically. It's too lazy and cynical to.
No, there's nothing. It's not. There's no level of this that's so bad it's good. It's just not good. There's nothing. There's nothing really bad about it. Okay, here's the solo. Not good.
No.
I mean, that's so boring. You know. So I think there's a lot of differences. You know. There's just that, like,
Journey is not lazy. It's fundamentally,
like,
it might not be good to some, but it's fundamentally not lazy.
And Journey songs are songs.
Yeah.
That's, like, barely a song. I mean, this is cheesy, but... I mean, that's not so bad, right? Compared to what we were just listening to, this seems like a fucking metal extravaganza.
Like, I think your point is right. Like, Journey tried. Like, Journey put forth effort, and... We can all accept a spectacular failure, like where they're really going for it, over a lazy failure.
Well, like, I think that in a way, you know, this embodies the bad things about music of the, you know, the synthesizers and shit.
Right.
It's not just sort of like used to fill it in. It's like they're fully into it. They're like, fuck it, we use the synthesizer, go fuck yourself.
Is this the video? Oh, if this is the video, he's going to be playing the keyboard on the wall of the warehouse.
Yeah, this is where they're playing, like, invisible instruments.
Yes.
Which is, like, the worst idea. So, I mean, this is cheesy, but, you know, there's, like, harmony to it. There's guitars, there's drums.
It feels like with the Huey Lewis song, to go back to that sort of retro idea.
Yeah.
If someone told you that they wrote that song in, like, 1955.
Yeah.
Would you, you could say, like, yeah, I believe that. Like, that song came out in 1955.
Yeah, and also it would be not a good one.
No, like, you'd say, like, this came out.
Be like, all right, that's garbage.
This came out 30 years earlier and was not very good.
I think, too, that the songs themselves are about... things. I mean, they're melodramatic, but, like, Don't Stop Believin', for example, is, like, there's a story to it. If This Is It is kind of just, it's 90% chorus.
No, like, I think that your basic point about it not being lazy, that Journey is shallow. Like, I'll go controversial for a second.
Okay.
Journey is a little bit like, I saw the movie Pacific Rim.
Okay.
Pacific Rim is fundamentally pretty stupid.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's just completely enjoyable.
Yeah.
And that's what I think Journey, the best defense of Journey is that, where it's, you have to recognize on some level that Journey is fair, like, this is my opinion, but fairly stupid.
Sure.
But enjoyable, like fundamentally fun.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it is fun. I think that's a big key.
Right.
Because, like, Huey and the Lewis in the News is not really fun either. It doesn't make you... Like this, I think, too, you could feel sort of happy listening to, or, you know, you can listen to... I mean, interesting to me, too, like Don't Stop Believin', for example. What's weird is it really actually breaks the typical songwriting, like, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, or something like that.
Right.
Because really, it's... all just melody and then chorus at the end. One time.
It's amazing that there was a bit of composition, you know, not innovation, but at least composition risk.
Yeah.
Taken in service of something that was kind of, again, it's like Pacific Rim where you put billions of dollars to do something kind of, or millions of dollars rather, to do something kind of silly.
Well, weird too to me though that that song is so big, yet you see so, I mean, how many songs do that? How many songs have you heard where you're like, there's no real chorus or not till the end, or they don't have it chorus in the middle, you know what I mean? That barely ever happens, yet it perfectly worked.
It seems, but it's also that I don't hear Don't Stop Believing all the way through very often. Like, sure. When I hear it, it's usually clipped. Like, they go
to the
beginning.
That's because people are fucking animals.
Exactly.
Because there's no point in listening to half of that song. That's the craziest thing I could think to do.
And yet, people do.
I know, they're idiots, assholes, charlatans, pieces of shit.
Speaking of idiots...
Yeah.
We should see if you're an idiot when it comes to geography.
Okay.
If we can.
There's one more song I want to play okay. that I think is an example of why Journey is great. Or not. Yeah. Well, okay. What I think is much better than the music of that time. Than Huey and Lewis in the News. Because this was like almost the same time. Is what's disturbing to me.
I think the thing, as much as I want you to close out on this song, you should really close out on what was the number one song on Night Tracks when we watched that video.
Yeah. Think about, if you can guess, people at home, what the number one, we went, you know, I said, because there was a real awkward moment, we're watching these fucking home movies, and I think I tried to lighten the mood with what do you guys think the number one song is going to be? Because we'd seen Billy Idol, Huey Lewis in the News, Prince. So we were thinking Michael Jackson,
Madonna
something yeah. like that. So see if you can guess. This is, I think, a great example of an 80s song.
Come on, feel the noise.
Now it's stupid,
girls, rock your voice.
But it's also great.
We'll get wild, wild, wild.
And,
wild,
there's really nothing to not like about this song, if you ask me.
It really feels like I should have a bunch more, a lot of Aquanet in my hair.
Yeah.
I should be much taller.
Yeah. I mean, this song makes me so happy. I can't describe why. I like the lyrics, too. Have you ever listened to it? So my singing's out of time. It makes me money. It's like, he doesn't care. It's great.
This is your quintessential 80s song. I'm just looking across and you're just smiling the whole time.
If I had to if the 80s was going to get wiped out and I had to save one song and no one else knew that I was making the decision,
so
this is the one I would pick.
I like how you had to have that caveat.
People would be so pissed.
There would be so... Because people would come to you with okay, Thriller, you didn't save that. You didn't save anything from Prince. Even like a Virgin might have been a better choice to save.
There'd be a lot of options. White Wedding.
Yeah.
You know.
My Adidas.
Total Eclipse of the Heart. That's a pretty amazing song too. I actually really like that song. That's a great example of a song where she believed it.
Bring the Noise, the Public Enemy version?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You could have saved something.
And I'd be like, yeah, but think about it this way.
We are the world.
I mean, this song fades out on guitar solo. There's not enough song to contain the song.
There was a producer sitting in the studio be like, we got to cut this off.
It's seriously.
For radio play.
I'm gonna skip to the end so you can hear what happens. This is not me fading out. This is the song.
Do you think when they were playing
this?
Now, do you think when they're playing it live, they just let the guitar solos go on forever and ever?
I have no idea. That must be a 9-minute song live. There's not enough time in the world to contain.
It's like a dream theater song live.
Okay, so now we had your quiz question. What is the number one song from Night Tracks in whatever year this
wasn't
must have
Prince?
Been? It was probably 1985.
Yeah, it wasn't Prince.
Something like that.
Wasn't Madonna. Wasn't Michael Jackson.
Here is the number one hit from Night Tracks, 1985.
And this will show you how much things have changed time-wise.
I couldn't fucking believe it. Now, I mean, kind of a great song.
I was undeniably great song. Like, I was trying to think of, like, when I was watching this, of a better song from a movie.
Yeah,
and
a better theme song.
I really could not think of something.
Wild Wild West?
I'm going to just jump over this table.
I was trying to wonder, you know, like, what's the last song that even had a song, or movie that had a song? It's not like they had, like, Pacific Rim coming at ya. You know what I mean? They don't do that anymore, do they?
No, I mean, like, if you have a song that's sort of attached to a movie rather than being about the movie, like My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah.
Probably could have just not been attached to Titanic and come out as a song.
Furthermore.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't say Titanic in it.
No.
This says Ghostbusters 5,000 times.
Exactly.
And it's about the movie. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
Even, like, you know, those sort of Disney movie, like, or, like, DreamWorks movies or whatever else, yeah. They don't write their own songs anymore.
And there's no song in there that's like, hey, I guess Beauty and the Beast had one.
Right.
But there wasn't like a, I'm the Little Mermaid, da na na, you know, and there wasn't like a fucking, I can't even think of another Disney movie.
Like, there wasn't a,
hey, I'm Snow White, kicking ass out in the forest. You know.
Toy Story!
Yeah.
Fancy exactly. And free. We're toys and we like to play.
Wreck, wreck, wreck it, Ralph. Wreck it, wreck it, wreck it, Ralph.
That'd have to be much more of a chiptune thing.
Yeah. Or even, you know, I don't think movies before this did that either. There was no, like, taxi driver killing some people, shooting them in the hand.
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Gonna whack it.
You know what they really missed out on?
My Charlene.
They really missed out on Gone with the Wind / Tuesday's Gone with the Wind. That would have been a great... Can you imagine it's the end of that? Now, have you seen that movie? Because I've never seen that movie.
Now I want to write a movie about a time-traveling Lynyrd Skynyrd that goes back and records a song for...
So, what happens at the end of the movie? Do you know? Can you describe it? Okay,
well,
hang on.
Isn't she standing by a tree where she says, tomorrow's another day?
Well, I don't know, you say. You narrate the end of the movie, and this is what's happening.
I keep going on. Because tomorrow is another day.
And she's, like, looking at slaves or something?
She's out looking, like, just... There's a vista, basically, and the sun's coming
up. This is the perfect thing, yeah. The sun's rising.
Yeah.
Probably some guy walking away.
Right. Oh, no, Rhett's already gone.
Well, he comes back to walk away for the song. This is the remix.
Like, he's walking across a long, desolate part. You know, that, you know, the Union has burned.
You have to be quiet at this part because I don't think there's trains. But then you can just go back in. They could say that. I guess it's time to move on, or whatever.
There were trains in the Civil War.
Well, whatever.
And so there were trains, so you don't have to worry about it. Like,
okay.
Technologically,
so we're still good.
Yeah.
This is how bad I am at history.
And movies.
Like, when did the train get invented? I'm like, I don't know, 1970?
We'll concede that Peter's very good at music, but movies, history, geography, as we'll find out.
It blows my mind that Lynyrd Skynyrd died in a plane crash, because I'm like, they had planes? What the fuck? So here's the end of, you know, Gone with the Wind. Tuesday's gone with the wind. How perfect is that on the credits? That's the perfect song to end that movie.
Oh, God. There's someone who's going to try to remake Gone with the Wind, with and they're going... Wind. Zack Snyder's going to get the remake to Gone with the Wind.
Train
and
he's
going to make the South so angry.
Red on train. Let me just change it to Rhett on the train. Is that the guy's name?
Yes.
Rhett Butler?
Yes. I don't even know what to say anymore.
Yeah.
I'm kind of lost.
It's
I'm
too
speechless.
Perfect.
It's It's both perfect, but it was like, it's like what it'd be kind of like. When I saw the Transformers movie, and I was like, oh, I feel like my childhood is gone.
Yeah,
that would be doing that to the elderly, and that's just not right. Well, luckily, most of the people who remember Gone with the Wind from its, you know, from its theatrical release, are dead now. So
that's true. So it's time to trample on those memories.
Exactly. Now, if they had remade the. If Michael Bay had made the Transformers animated movie, as in this song, that would have been awesome.
This is a pretty great song, too. Transformers! This was definitely, they paid some coked up idiots, and they're like, we want a Transformers song that's a Quiet Riot song.
Yes. What's even, what I love, too, about the Transformers soundtrack, and this is going to get super nerdy for a second.
Uh-huh.
They wanted a Devo song.
Yeah.
But Devo wasn't real. They didn't want to pay Devo. So you know who they got?
Who?
Weird Al.
Oh, that Dare to be Stupid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Weird Al was trying to make a Devo song, so they used it for the movie to be like,
fuck it.
We want a Devo song that's cheap. We'll just go with Weird Al.
We'll get a parody Devo song, basically.
Right.
I love how this song is like so on message. I mean, they went for it. See, this is what usually happens when you try to do a song for a movie.
Right.
And you're like, I guess it's pretty cool. But then 20 years later, you're like, what the fuck? What is this?
Well, I like this song is worth like finding the lyrics for because they're trying to describe the lore of the Transformers.
Right.
Autobots will destroy the evil of the Decepticons.
Which, you know, the lore of the Transformers is kind of confusing.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they come from a planet called Cybertron.
Right.
For starters. What should we call it? I don't know. Cybertron?
Sure.
That sounds robot-y. Here we go.
Now, if I remember, they used a sound clip from the show as part of the lyrics, like the robots in disguise part.
Oh, I think that happens.
Yeah.
After this epic. I guess. See, this is why the journey was so amazing. Every song in the 80s had this. Whether it needed. This song does not need this. I mean, what is this doing for anyone? Nothing. And it just kind of goes back again. I mean, does this song need to be, like, almost 4 minutes long, by the way?
I think they just wanted to play it over the credits, but...
They're like, yeah, we have 4 minutes of credits.
Yeah.
So, go. You know what was great about that Ray Parker Ghostbusters song, too? The video.
Oh, God.
The video is, like, this woman, and she goes into her apartment, and instead of furniture and stuff, everything's neon outlines.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. Like, neon lights, like a neon sign. So instead of a window, there was, like, a square painted, and there were, like, even blinds painted in neon.
Yes.
However, in the house, it's kind of unclear. It seems that Ray Parker Jr. is the ghost.
It was a weird thing that, like... Ray Parker Jr. is simultaneously, like, ghost and rapist. Like, rapist home invader.
Yeah, he's kind of coming after, and it's, like, this white woman in her like, 80s lingerie.
Yeah, it was really...
That's a weird just...
Yeah, a weird transition where it goes to paper planes.
Imagine if this was the Transformers theme song, and then the movie that made this famous Slumdog Millionaire was like this.
Well, it's weird, yeah, that Paper Planes was in a movie.
This was the Slumdog song. Shows him in the shit, and then it cuts away to, like, a theme, and it's all computerized. It's showing India on a map. It's like, beep, beep, beep.
The Slumdog!
Actually, I want you to start this over again.
Okay.
All right.
I will always do that.
I want you to look at, Ryan Gosling's driving up in a nice old-timey car.
Yeah.
He's going to a little farmhouse. He's going to pick someone up, and then the girl runs out to the farm door and starts staring at him.
The Notebook!
That would be so great.
Oh, wait. I do have an example of another good song.
Okay.
That from a film that was all about the film, but I'm going to need your computer for it because I want to surprise you.
Yeah, it's too wired here.
All right. Well, I can think of the last one, like the most recent film or most recent song that was clearly tied to a film.
Okay.
Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Had a song so directly tied to both the film and the that's why the Notebook song would never work, because there's no theme songs for books.
No.
But this was a whole different level of synergy.
I think this is it. Is this it? Or is this like a remake? I can't even tell. It's pretty good. I like it so far. I think this is a remake.
This is a remake.
Oh, yeah. Here's Mortal Kombat original. Let's try that.
Oh, no, this is
too
from the
original.
That's from the arcade game.
Okay, hold on. We're going to have to go to... Jesus, with all the weird sounds like?
Yeah, it was because the old arcade game was this weird Shaolin tournament thing.
All right, let's try this one.
Insane.
We could do Mortal Kombat theme 10 hours. Someone has assembled on YouTube. God, this sounds like shit. I hate it.
With CenturyLink, the price of super fast internet is built to last.
With CenturyLink, the price of
God damn,
internet
everyone
is awful.
Puts an ad on these things.
This is what I was talking about. The last song.
This is so crazy.
From a film. Now, as a child, this was probably your introduction to Dutch techno, wasn't it?
I mean, that's the best part. Just the guy. They got some guy in a booth screaming his ass off. Just yell Mortal Kombat with a K.
Now, I do remember seeing this in the movie theater, and I was excited to see this movie even after this song. I was like, yes!
I feel like this must have been one of the first techno songs that was big in the States, right?
Maybe.
Because I remember this being really old. Did I tell you I saw like the second Mortal Kombat movie?
Not very good.
That's an understatement of the
pretty
of
awful
the lifetime.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy. How that even got made, I don't know. It didn't make sense.
I remember that there was a storyline with the dude who has metal arms, Jax.
Yeah.
It's about him like overcoming his need for metal arms.
This guy has, instead of arms, he has metal arms. But they're basically metal arms on top of his regular arms.
Right.
You know, and he's got these from the army or something. And yeah, there's this whole subplot of like, Jax, you don't need those metal arms. And he's like, I need these metal arms. You know, and they go back and forth on it. And then in the end, he's better off without the metal arms for some reason. Even though the metal arms are faster and stronger than regular arms.
Like, he could have just sort of used whatever mental block he had to just punch even harder
just
with those
metal
arms.
Just do whatever he did with the regular arms and do that with metal arms.
Right.
Well, like, also...
He wouldn't bruise his knuckles as much when he's punching dudes.
Well, he's fighting guys who have, like, mystical powers. They're shooting fire. There's a guy who has a flaming skull head. I think you probably could use a weapon instead of just karate. Call me old-fashioned.
There are guys who are shooting spears at you.
Yeah, a guy has a living snake spear that comes out of his arm. Feel free to use any advantage.
One guy can freeze you.
How about you bring a goddamn... You know what I hated about this? Actually, this is what I hated about Harry Potter the other day. Not one fucking machine gun in that whole series. How does no one in these wizard fights be like, fuck it, why not bring a gun too?
Seems like that would at least, you know, get... You could do covering fire with like a giant serpent or something. Like you could be filling it full of holes.
Well, and it seemed like they were doing basically at some point in the movies, they're kind of fighting with wands like their guns, shooting walls of shit at each other. Why not just use a goddamn, you know, how come the Weasleys don't have like a mounted machine gun?
It seems like that would be a good thing for like those D students at the school to do. Like if you're not very good at magic.
Yeah, you man
the turret.
And
Voldemort's coming. Like, yeah, they'll be like, fuck it, put you in the turret.
Yeah,
you
could
do
probably
something.
Hit some fucking wizard off of his broom, right?
Right.
He's flying a broom.
You're providing covering fire.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you really need to do, so that way the wizard can't, you know, Voldemort can't mount an attack and stand in an open field. Like, someone should have had a high-powered rifle and be like, hey, even if we can kind of, like, Plink and distract him a little bit.
Yeah.
That might give Harry the edge he needs.
I always wonder that, too, when you watch, like, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that one, you know, huge machine gun could completely turn the tide? I mean, do you think it would turn a epic battle into, like, a, yeah, they pretty much destroyed us immediately?
Maybe, well, it depends if the other side had a wizard.
No. I mean, you know, it's the normal fights from the movies, but then you just give, you know, the guys in the castle a machine gun also.
I think that would have made the fights a lot shorter.
Like a mounted huge machine gun.
I mean, like I'm trying to think of the situation where it would have given the orcs a bit of an advantage.
I mean, they could just shoot down the wall of the castle, right?
That would have helped.
If they had like a helicopter with guns on it.
Yeah, that would have helped against the Ents, because the Ents just kind of rolled in. Like the Ents, if they had a machine gun.
I don't know what that is.
The tree guys.
The trees.
Okay. Yeah. Do you remember the walking trees where they just walked in and pushed everything? Like they pushed all the towers over and stuff. Like that was really much of a much more short battle, because the Ents were just, they would push like all the guys into the hole. They would flood everything. They just walked in and the orcs were doomed.
That movie was really weird, because it seemed to me like the movie was mostly about, we're going to convince a bunch of these assholes who are like, we don't want to be involved. That's a human problem. And then they'd say like, well, okay, what the fuck? We're just trees. We're not doing anything.
Well, what it really
needed.
What do
we care?
You know what that film really needed? Was a theme song that said, Lord of the Rings!
You got to lean back, I'm telling you. My ears are in pain.
Sorry.
But it was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I don't like those movies.
As opposed to the da, da, da.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, it's not
that
as good.
Song, I don't like that. That's boring.
Right. It's not even called Lord of the Rings. It's called Into the West.
That's what the song's called?
I think so.
That sounds like a song I would listen to.
Yeah.
Someone's like, you heard that album, Into the West? I'd be like, no, but it sounds great.
Sounds awesome.
100 miles on the other side of Lonesome, something like that.
Something like that.
Last Pale Light in the West. That's a song I like.
West is a very good, yeah. Where you are in relation to loneliness is good for geography.
Okay. You like to do these segues.
I keep trying to segue, but then we get distracted.
Yeah.
Also, I've had many beers.
Here, I'll just do a segue for us. It's easy. It's this easy now. There you go. Segued. Do you want to try another one?
All right.
We've got, that was pop guitar. We've got punch in the gut, college pop bumper, heavy ending, happy ending, funk guitar, and act now.
Well, I'm going to go with act now.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about a little game called Carmen Sandiego.
That's actually pretty good.
It's not bad, right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I got this game. Carmen Sandiego.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my memory of this is that it was designed to teach kids geography. However, as a kid, I didn't know. I knew so little geography, I wasn't even aware that you could use geography to find the answers.
It's like, I don't know if there's a good analogy. It's like if you had a math, like if you had a math textbook and you didn't know numbers.
Right.
You had no idea.
Well, not only, it was beyond not knowing the geography answers, it was, you would usually get like three choices, right? And it would be like, where do you think she is based on this clue? Here, here, or here? And I would just say like, I didn't even know that there was a way you could know. I just thought you basically guessed and followed Carmen Sandiego around and just got lucky. And was like, this is the dumbest game. But what you're supposed to do, what'll happen is, you know, there'll be a beret left behind and you'll be like, aha, she must be in France.
Right.
And then you follow her to France. So I came across an old Carmen Sandiego game and I wanted to see if my skills have improved.
I just want to point out that this old Carmen Sandiego game was rejected by a public library.
Yeah. Like, well, it's a DVD-ROM.
Yeah.
Or CD-ROM. So these are not things that they keep anymore.
No.
So I'm going to fire this game up. Now, all right. I tried to fire this up earlier to see how playing it worked, and there was a long introductory cartoon that I couldn't get through.
Man. So there's a long introductory cartoon that our listeners are going to have to wait through.
Well, when I say long, I probably watched 15 seconds of it before I started screwing around and trying to turn it off and couldn't. So perhaps it's not long. I may embarrass myself when it's 1 minute long.
It's like 30. It's as long as a YouTube ad.
Yeah. So I think the point of it seems to be to set up who Carmen Sandiego is. And there's also these agents. This is like the production. By the way, we went to the movies last night.
Mm-hmm.
How many fucking production companies does one movie need? There were like six things for production companies before the movie started. Jesus
Christ. A
lot, Christ.
Apparently.
I would say one. Seems like a good number. Here's
maybe
another
two.
One. Well, let's see. Carmen Sandiego need two, but that's for a computer. So there you go. Let's see.
Agent Second Class Shadow Hawkins reporting.
Okay,
Chief.
So a guy is climbing a window and no swings in.
Intruder. Search plan Delta Delta 2.
I'll let you describe this.
Jules, how did you...
Okay, so basically there's these two agents. There's this douchey guy who's like all in his SWAT team shit, and then there's this smart Asian partner lady of his. You know, and he's like tactical and shit, and she's like, I took the elevator. So they're looking for Carmen Sandiego in this building.
I'll say she was the best partner I ever worked with.
So Jules says Carmen Sandiego was the best partner she ever worked with. And then the chandelier falls for no reason. Oh, here she is.
How nice to see you again. Carmen, it's not too late to turn yourself in. You were the best agent we ever had.
Jules! I never thought I'd see my old partner resort to flattery.
You two were partners?
I know you.
This fucking idiot didn't even pick that up. They were partners.
Why are you doing this?
Oh, you're right there, Jules. There's nothing simple about me at all.
Gotcha!
Catch me!
He tries to tackle her and misses. And then she dives out the window like Batman into a helicopter somehow. And she's gone. Now we have a title screen. So that's the cartoon I couldn't get through. All of that.
Okay, agent. Be sure to type in your name or select it from the list.
All right.
Then click on the start button.
I'm typing in a name here. Ian is a poop head. And then say start. I hope it reads it or something. But that seems unlikely.
She's getting away!
Oh,
Chief.
Now
I almost had
her. Chasing her.
Send for backup. She's getting away.
Here's what you missed so far. Carmen Sandiego got away.
Now let's see. With her child prostitutes in tow?
Yeah, she was...
That's what I was...
Human
assuming.
Trafficking.
Yeah, what was Carmen Sandiego really doing? Like, what was she trying to...
It appears she stole an old book.
Oh.
It contains secrets to great power.
I knew it!
She's after the power?
If I know Carmen, there's more
she's
to
after
it than
power.
That. Hey, what's that?
Looks like she left
a clue. Ooh, she left a note. And it says, Rio de Janeiro.
What do you think?
Big place. It's not much of a lead, but it's all we have.
Book your flights, detective. The world is counting on you. You've got to get that book back. There's no time to lose. We must stop Carmen Sandiego.
All right, let's do it. I always carry the latest technology in my Acme Field Op Tech Vest. It has all the tools we need to get around the world in high-tech style.
I'll keep track of the missions we're on in the journal here in my bag.
This is like Mass Effect.
But I will carry the Chief Con here on my shoulder. We can use it to get help from the Chief whenever we're stuck.
Can you choose the Renegade option?
Check. Okay,
I haven't gotten to choose anything other than my name yet.
I'm amazed you can run this game on that computer.
It's been so long since I was last here.
I guess we're in Rio de Janeiro now. So this is Brazil.
I aced the final test on Brazil in the academy. Did you know most Brazilians speak Portuguese?
See, I don't like this.
Actually, more people speak Portuguese here than in the country of Portugal itself.
What?
No kidding.
Whoa.
Well, okay, let's get started. Initiating mission procedure Delta 4.
See, this is
Step
what I don't
one.
Like. Like, you were supposed to learn things.
By finding clues.
Did you know
just
that more people speak Portuguese? Did you know
there?
That go fuck yourself, you fucking nerds? I passed the
so
test
maybe
on,
we should talk to him.
On Brazil in the academy. Hey, you know what I passed on? Kicking your ass, you piece of shit.
Have you actually gotten to play anything yet?
Now I'm supposed to click. I have a magnifying glass, and we're basically looking around at this town. There's a dance club. Should I go in there?
I remember
definitely.
Statistics that say samba dancing is quite popular here. Yeah, I think I'd be pretty good at it.
Oh, there's a giant Jesus up on the hill.
I've read that you can get a fabulous view of the city from the huge statue of Christ the Redeemer on Mount Corcovado.
I don't know what I'm doing. Oh.
So
I just clicked on his jacket, and now I can't get out.
Oh, I think the last game I played that was in Rio de Janeiro was Max Payne 3.
Let's go to
Cuba.
I may need to brush
up on my Spanish. Think this guy is also an alcoholic? Is going to start gunning someone down?
I hope so.
You could use that handy dandy.
I just flew us to Cuba for no reason.
Oh damn it!
So now we're.
Are you sure you
know where we are? Isn't Carmen in Rio?
All I can see are acres of sugar.
The music though.
According to the database, sugar is Cuba's chief export.
Not to us.
This is a fucking terrible game. According to the well, I can't do anything here, so I guess I can touch this lady's butt. Oh, that just gives us notes. This is terrible.
I was can't get information from ladies' asses.
I can't get out. Okay, I'm out. Well, should
this
we go
makes
back?
For great
okay.
radio so far, where it's like I'm no trying to click on this thing and I can't. So big.
Fifth biggest country in area.
This
in
is
the
a horrible
world,
game
with
so far.
175 million people.
So where are we now?
Rio.
We're still in, back in Rio.
I think you need to work a little on your rhythm, Hawkins. But how about later?
Okay.
Much later.
Now what?
Let's focus on finding clues right now.
Max Payne was trying to
find
some clues too.
Let's see.
Attention, Acme agents.
Oh.
One of our informants in Rio thinks she spotted Carmen Sandiego at that balcony earlier today.
Aha.
You need to check it out. That edition of Marco Polo's Travels is very valuable.
Oh,
we
it was
must
a Marco Polo book.
Oh, God.
It's how to play that game. Oh, shit. Now I'm looking at
how
four
to play Marco
pamphlets.
Polo.
There's one that says Japan, one that says Kenya, one that says Italy, and one that says Warwick.
Look at all those travel brochures. Could this be a clue as to where Carmen Sandiego may have stashed that Marco Polo book?
Japan? The United Kingdom? Who knows? She's
could be
tricky.
Anywhere.
We've got to figure out what she's up to and where she's headed next.
Okay. How do you do it?
Look at all those travel brochures.
Shit.
Could this be a clue as to where Carmen Sandiego may have stashed that Marco Polo book?
I can't stop them.
Japan? The United Kingdom? Who knows?
So basically, we can choose between Japan, the United Kingdom, and what else?
Italy.
And where she's headed
I'm going to go with Italy.
And Kenya. Yeah, but I can't. When I clicked on those things, let's click on
Did
this.
Did you find anything at that bookstore in Rio?
Yeah, you dumb broad. We found these. Now I can't do anything again.
Oh, so it's telling you where to go. Like,
can
it's
I turn
you to go
off?
To the bookstore?
Well, I think we're at the. I don't know what's going on.
Did you find anything at that bookstore?
Oh, goddamn it.
Now, this was supposed to be a game where we could somehow quiz you on geography.
I haven't gotten and, to one geography question.
Yeah, really.
Wait a minute.
I don't
Did
understand
you find
how
anything
this...
at that bookstore.
I don't there, understand how I this escaped. Qualifies as a game, because you haven't had to do anything that's game-like yet.
I mean, I can't really do anything. What is this, my iPad? Okay, I'm done with this. Game over. So it turns out I was right as a kid. You know what? Vindicated. I thought I was dumb and didn't know geography, but it turns out this is a shit game.
Yeah. This is no Oregon Trail. We can say that for sure.
No, it is not. It's a complete garbage game.
It doesn't... You haven't had to do anything.
All it is people saying things to me. It's like being in school.
Yeah.
They're just like, did you know that Rio de Janeiro, they really like to dance and they have a huge Christ?
At least in Mass Effect, you get to make a choice of what boring dialogue you listen to.
Yeah, right? Good one, fuckers.
Yeah.
Big Jesus.
As opposed to, like, this is the boring dialogue we have. That's mildly educational.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're good.
Yeah.
I think we covered everything and then a lot more.
Yeah, it's a good thing we didn't start with the Carmen Sandiego thing and lean on that too hard.
Yeah, right?
That would have blown up in our faces.
We're dependent on Carmen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming again.
Thank you.
And, we did talk for briefly about Helpful Snow Bowl.
That's
2013,
right.
Which is coming.
Eventually, yes.
Yeah.
Perhaps sometime in mid-2014.
Yeah, but you know what? It'll still be Helpful Snow Bowl 2013.
Right.
Because fuck it, we have a logo already.
The winner has yet to be determined.
But it's going to be great. Don't worry.
Thing.
Yeah, it hasn't even, the contests haven't even started. But it's going to be great. So stay tuned, and see you next time.
See ya.